Amen. We do know, of course, when we turn to the Bible, that there was no preacher like the Lord Jesus Christ. He is one who preached the word of God with great power. Do you remember it says of Christ in Luke 4 verse 18? He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." So the Spirit of the living God was upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So he had the power. He had power to preach the gospel, as he said here, unto the poor. He was also one who preached with passion. You cannot fail to see the love the Lord Jesus Christ had in his heart for those who were lost. And as he preached to those people who came before him in their sins and who were lost without him, the Lord Jesus preached with great passion to them. Remember, in John 7, verse 37, it says, "In the last day of that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink.'" Do you see the Lord Jesus? People were packing up and they were moving home. They had been all week at the city of Jerusalem. And as he watches the people packing up, he cries out, as the Bible says here, with a loud voice, "If any man thirst," he says, "let him come unto me and drink." The Lord Jesus had a great love for the souls of the lost. In fact, in Luke chapter 19 and verse 41, when he was coming to Jerusalem, when he came near, he beheld the city and he wept. He wept over it. Wonder, can you go and look at some place here tonight, some hill, and look over the city of Londonderry? Do you weep over it? There are people in the city without Christ. There are people in their sin. There are people lost without a Savior. Do we weep over souls? The Lord Jesus was one who preached with passion. He also preached in parables. And that's what we find here, because he's in the house of one who was a Pharisee. And in response to this man, in verse 15, the Lord Jesus tells him a parable of a great supper. You see, the gospel fell from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. He preached with power. He preached the gospel here in parables to the people. And in this particular parable of the supper, he says to them, "Come, for all things are now ready." And I want to bring a lesson from this text tonight. The Lord spoke in this parable of the supper. Come, for all things are now ready. Now, there's three simple things in closing. The claim of the gospel. And what is the claim of the gospel? Come, for all things are now ready. Now this servant went out. He was sent out at supper time to call people to come to this great supper. And he goes out onto the street and we can hear these words coming from his lips. And he said, "Listen, come, for all things is now ready." Now before he could say these things, there had been a time of preparation. As some ladies say, and my wife says to me sometimes, things just don't happen. They just don't happen in the house. Some of those men think it just happens. Well, it doesn't just happen. And I know that, of course. And you know it. It didn't just happen, everything, for this supper. There had to be. There had to be thought. There had to be plans. There had to be activity. There had to be work. There had to be orders. There had to be preparation going to this great supper. And I see the master of the house. He's ordering the food. He's organizing his servants. Some were to cook. Some were to serve. Some were to wash. Some were to set tables. But he was made all of these things. He had all the preparation made. Everyone had their duty to perform. And they performed it. Now he says to the servant, "Go and tell them. Go and tell them throughout the streets. Go and call them. Go and tell them, come, for all things are now ready." Here's the claim. Here's the claim of the gospel. And I want to say that to you tonight, because the great feast here is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, he tells us himself that he is food to the hungry soul. In John 6, verse 35, remember the Lord Jesus said, "I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger." There are people tonight in this city, And they're running after the world. And they're running after their sin. And you know, tonight they're still searching. And they're still hungry. But I want to tell you this. There's none but Christ can satisfy. And he says, I am the bread of life. And he that cometh to me shall never hunger. He meets your need tonight. Remember he says in John 6 verse 53, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in him. Now, you're talking here, of course, spiritually. You see, before the Lord Jesus, I said to you tonight, before these things could be said, in a sense, there had to be preparation. And I know tonight, according to the Bible, God the Father made the preparation to save us. He made it. See, I cannot, and you cannot tonight save yourself. God sent his Son to be our Savior. And in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 5, he says here in that particular text, but a body has I prepared me. Speaking here of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, as a body prepared. Now remember, it tells us in the Bible, he was born of the Virgin Mary. We believe that tonight and we preach that. And he was a holy child. Without sin, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Father is preparing the great supper for you and I. The great salvation. And so he sent his Son. And a body has I prepared me. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world. And he lived a life without sin. Remember it says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, who knew no sin. The Lord Jesus Christ, he knew no sin. In other passages of the Bible, he did no sin. But here's a remarkable, remarkable thing. The Lord Jesus died for our sins. That's what broke the heart of her sister. But she realized the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. How he came into the world and in love, he went to the cross. And he bled and he suffered and he died upon the cross for our sins. And the Father slew his Son upon the cross. In fact, in Psalm 88 verse 7 said, thy wrath lieth hard upon me and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves. You see, the Lord Jesus took the sinner's place. He took the sinner's punishment. You see, what was happening at Calvary? God's preparing the great supper for you and I of salvation. And the Lord Jesus bled and he died upon the cross. See, it's Spurgeon told about a certain king. And he made a law for a certain crime. And the punishment was this. Anybody who broke the law lost their two eyes. So you can imagine the surprise to the king one day. They came and told him, we've got a man who's broke the law. And he says, who is it? He says, it is your son. His own son. And the law has said, the law of the king. Whoever breaks this law will get their two eyes put out. And the king thought about it. He loved his son. And the king said, I'll tell you what we'll do. He says, put one of his eyes out. And put one of mine. He says, that's what the law said. The one who broke the law would lose two eyes. So he said, put one of mine. I put one of my sons. And that's what happened. But Spurgeon went on to say here, the Lord Jesus went farther. He didn't say, accept half of the penalty from me and half from the sinner. He said, put both my eyes out. Nail me to the cross. Let me die. Let me take all the guilt away. And let the sinner go free. That's what Jesus Christ said. I will give myself upon the cross to save sinners, all of me. So we come to the Bible. We see the flames of divine justice fell upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And he made a once for all sacrifice for our sin. And remember when he was dying upon the cross, what did he cry? He said, it's finished. It's finished. All things are now ready. Not a wonderful thing tonight. I'm glad I preach the gospel tonight that Jesus did it all. He did it all. And a sacrifice, as the Bible tells us in Ephesians 5 verse 2, a sweet smelling sacrifice. It rose up. Sometimes we're in the home and you can smell the dinner and you can say, "Why, I know that dinner's ready." Well, in a sense, I said to you, as it says in the Bible, Ephesians 5 and verse 2, to offer a sacrifice to God, a sweet smelling savour. Sin has been removed. Divine justice has been satisfied. Cleansing is now available for the sinners. And we're glad tonight in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The cry goes out, "Come, for all things are now ready." And the claim of the gospel of Jesus Christ is this: all things has been done to save us. All things has been done to save us. Christ is ready. Our God is ready to forgive us. Jesus says in Nehemiah 9 verse 17, "But thou art a God ready to pardon." God is ready to pardon sinners. He's ready to forgive sinners tonight. And why is this? Because all things are now ready. God's ready to forgive you tonight if you're in this meeting. Because Jesus Christ has died upon the cross. Christ is ready to receive sinners. Isn't that wonderful? Do you remember he says in John chapter 6, verse 37, "All the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." The Lord Jesus Christ is ready. He's ready to save. He's ready to receive sinners. And the Spirit of God is ready to take up his abode in the hearts of sinners. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. See, all things are now ready. Sinner needs forgiveness. Sinner needs justification. They need, of course, righteousness. They need salvation. They need peace with God. Here's the cry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All things are now ready. And I want to say to you tonight, I rejoice that God has given me the gospel of Jesus Christ to preach. No other religion. No other religion. Her sister was brought up in Roman Catholicism. They say you cannot know you're saved. No other religion, the Muslim religion, cannot guarantee their people that all things are now ready. But I'm glad we preach Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross, who shed his blood, one sacrifice for sin, and he can save you in a moment tonight, because all things have been done to save us. And what do we see today? People run about, they're trying to do this, they're trying to do that, and all the little deeds and rituals and all the things in their religion. If you're doing such thing here tonight, and I say this to you, stop it. Because all things has been done to save us. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died upon the cross to take away our sins. And all things are now ready. I want to say to you, that's why the gospel's good news. That's what it means, good news. It's all been finished. Christ has died. He's put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And he's willing to save sinners. And his blood can cleanse you from sin tonight if you're unconverted tonight in this meeting. All things are ready. That's what the man went out to say. This was the message of the king. It was not his own message. No. This was a message from the king. And I have a message from the king tonight to you. Unsaved person tonight in your sin, heading down towards hell as fast as your feet can carry you. All things are now ready. That's the claim of the gospel of Jesus Christ tonight. That's the first lesson here we can see from our text tonight. Can I say secondly, the Bible talks here about come, for all things are now ready. There's not only the claim of the gospel, there's the call of the gospel. What was it? He says, come. And this is really the gospel call. Are people tonight labouring and heavy laden? Think of the words in Matthew 11 verse 28 where the Lord Jesus says, "Come unto me all ye that labour and heavy laden and I'll give you rest." Is there someone tonight, you're labouring and you're finding life difficult in your life of sin? The Lord Jesus Christ says, "Come unto me. Come unto me all you that labour and heavy laden. I give you rest." As I said in that verse in John 7 verse 37, "Are you thirsting?" He says, "If any man thirsts, let him come on to me and drink. Are you poor and hungry? Remember it says in Isaiah 55 and verse 1, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that has no money, come ye buy and eat. Yeah, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And so here's the cry from the Master, come, for all things are now ready. That's the call of the gospel. And this man had to go out. This was his sermon to the people. Come. Come, for all things are now ready. There are a number of things about this call. You can say it was understandable. They were called to the feast. They knew what they were called to. They knew what was going on in this man's palace, this man's home. And so the call was very simple. You've got to come to where the feast is. Like, it's no good going somewhere else. You're not going to get the food. You're not going to get the fellowship in any other place. You've got to come to this place where the food was. And that's the same with the gospel call to sinners. They're called to Jesus Christ. You're not called to Allah or to anyone else or to any particular church. That is not the call of the gospel. The gospel calls people, men and women and boys and girls in their sin, to come to Jesus Christ. And that's what we've been doing over the last couple of weeks, on the doors, on the streets, whenever it be, in the meetings, Colin and I, preaching the gospel, that people would come to Jesus Christ. And that's what we've been saying to you over this last week. If you're unconverted, listen to my voice tonight on the internet or in this meeting, come to Jesus Christ. You have to come to Jesus Christ to be saved. And I want to say to you tonight, you'll never be saved unless you come to Christ. You'll never be saved. You'll never partake of this great supper unless you go to it. It's not enough to believe about the supper. It was not enough to say, yes, I know where the supper is. You had to go to it. It's not enough for you tonight to say, I believe about Jesus. Our sister said she believed about him. Our parents believed about him. But that is not enough. You've got to come to Jesus with all your heart. And so the call was understandable. I hope tonight I'm saying to you, repent from your sin and come to Jesus. I don't want to preach anything that's complicated. And they were to come empty-handed. Imagine the guests of the feast saying, I better bring something along to eat. Well, if you think how this would have insulted this poor man. Some people here asked us for dinner and we're very, very thankful for that over the last couple of weeks. But imagine I'd have landed up with something with me. A plate of my own food and everything else. And after you cooking and striving around the kitchen for me, and I brought my own, you've been insulted. Just come the way you are. That's it, you see. You just got to come to Christ empty-handed. Yet there are many people. And they try to bring their works of righteousness. They feel, I've got to bring something else with me. And I was going over to Uganda. I was sitting in the plane, and I always like the aisle, or the window. I prefer the aisle, but this particular time, I was in the middle seat. But that means there's somebody on this side, and there's somebody on that side. And I looked at the boy beside me, and of course he had the mask on, I didn't have one on. And he's all dressed in black. And I says to myself, that's very like a priest beside me. So I sat in there for a while and everybody, and I looked at him. And then I looked at him and says, are you going on your holidays? Just, oh, he says, he just rolled his hand down up us. Just look at me. He says, I'm a priest. He's from Rome too. Oh, I says, are you? When you're going to Uganda? Oh, he says, I'm going to do missionary work. I says, would you believe it? So am I. I'm going to do missionary work too. And you know, I had a chat with that man, and I asked him about the way of salvation and different things. Now, he did mention Jesus Christ. I had to say that. And I asked him, how could we get to heaven? He says, Jesus Christ. That's what he said to me. But I knew what he meant by that. I says, you know, it's Jesus only. But of course, that was different now. That's the, you have taken out the teachings of the Church of Rome here. No, no, he says, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, and do the other. But no, that's just not the case. And even with so-called Protestant churches, there are people today, they're trying to bring their works and their deeds, and they say, I'll get into heaven. But that's not what you've got to do. You've got to come empty-handed, and you've got to come just the way you are. As it says in our hymn, nothing in my hand I bring, but simply to the cross I cling. That's all we need to be saved and to get everlasting life. And the call is, just come. I say to you tonight, any who hears my voice, come to Jesus. Come to him with all of your heart and turn from your sin. And just come the way you are. And ask him to save you. That's the call of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith means forsaking all. I trust him. Remember it says in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 and 9, for by grace he is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Well, it is the gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. And I told the man that as well, that verse. Of course, nobody wants to hear that. They want to do their wee bit. They want to do their wee bit. And that's what people's doing today throughout the world and throughout their city. And they're trying to improve what Christ has already done, you see. That does not say in our text, all things are ready. Well, there's nothing to do. The wife says to me, the dinner's ready. Well, I can't go into the kitchen and load the sleeves up and says, right, what do you want me to do? She says, it's finished, it's all ready. I said, maybe put me out of the kitchen. Is that right? Oh, dear friends, come as you are to Jesus Christ. That's the call here of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And you can see here that it was a universal call as well. In different ways, it says verse 16, he bid many. And verse 21, he was told to go quick into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind, you see. And he was sent out and to call many people. I'm glad tonight I can come to this city and I can call people to come to Jesus Christ. I can go to anywhere in the world. And I can stand up in the street and go to different churches. I can speak to people. And when I was in Uganda, I needed somebody to interrupt me, or can I say it, to interpret for me. But the same message was, come to Jesus Christ. Because all sinners all over the world had the same need. All have sinned. And all have come short of the glory of God. And they're chopping down towards hell. Doesn't matter what color, what religion they're from. And so the call goes out to all men to come to Jesus Christ. As Jesse Ryle said, if any man is not saved, the fault is not in God's sight. The Father is ready to receive all who come to him by Christ. The Son is ready to cleanse all from their sins who apply to him by faith. And so there's the call to you, this mission. We're not asking you to come to, I said that again, we're not asking you to come to this church. You're more than welcome, and we'd love to see you. That's not the issue. But we're asking you to come to Jesus Christ. And trust him with all your heart to be saved. See, it's a universal call. It's an urgent call as well. Remember here, it's supper time. He made a supper. Very, very soon, darkness was going to descend. And then I said to you, it would be too late. Matthew Henry says, they that would not have Christ when they may, shall not have him when they would. And remember the Bible says in Proverbs 27 verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day it may bring forth. These people could not say, I'll come tomorrow. Because they had to come there and then. Because all things was ready. And if the wife makes me my dinner, she says, come, it's ready. And I says, I'll get them all. It'll be in the bin. The bin. And I want to say to you here, come. You're in danger. You are in danger of losing your soul. There's danger of delaying death and delay. There are many, many people. And they say, I know I should come to Christ. I know I should repent from my sin. I know if I die, I'm lost for all eternity. But they're halting. And they're not coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. But God would not invite you if things were not all ready. So here's the call of the gospel. to come, for all things are now ready. I think that's the message of the Bible here. It's wonderful. I've just got to come to Jesus. That's not what you're saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. I've just got to trust what he did on the cross to save me. That's exactly what we're saying. I've got just to repent from my sin and believe in him, and I have everlasting life, and I don't have to pay a penny. That's exactly what I'm saying. It's free. Salvation is free. I remember a dear Roman Catholic woman years ago when I first got converted, and I used to go to her home and I used to talk to her about Christ. And he said, "Hello, where's salvation?" And you know what she said to me one night? She said, "Noel, that's too simple. That's too simple." And I said, "You know what? It is. It's that simple that people's missing it. Missing it. That the way of salvation is by Christ and through the Lord Jesus Christ alone." So we have the call of the gospel. Can I say the last thing very quickly? You have man's conduct to the gospel. You see, come for all things are now ready. Look what it says in verse 18. And they all with one consent, what? Began to make excuse. Isn't that amazing? They were asked to this great feast. And they were asked to come to it. And it was all free. All they had to do was to turn up. But they all began to make excuse. Now, the boy talked about his land. He bought a piece of land. Boy talked about the livestock, five yoke of oxen. Oh, better go look at these old cows. And then the boy talked about the lady. He says, "Married a wife, I cannot come." I think if the wife had been asked about it, she'd been up for it. Getting out for a night, she would have been up for this. But they all began to make excuse. And there were some people in their conduct to the gospel invitation here, they made excuses. Well, there's many people in this city who's made excuses about the mission. They've been asked to come. Maybe you've asked your family. Maybe you've asked your friends to come. There's a lot of work been done in the house this week. Maybe the children are sick. Now, sometimes there are things that people can't go, but people make excuses. And if you're listening to my voice tonight and you're unconverted, what is your excuse why you're not coming to Jesus Christ? What is it? You say, "No, it's my husband, it's my wife, it's my friends, it's my fears." What is your excuse to stop becoming Jesus Christ? You have excuses. Of course, what the problem really is this. You don't want to come. And that's really it, you know. That's why the sinners won't come. They don't want to come. They may talk about coming to Christ. They may think about coming to Christ. They may make promises about coming to Christ. But really, in their heart, they don't want to come to Jesus Christ. Remember the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 5, "You will not come to me that you might have life." People make excuses. Come for all things are now ready. Why would you not come to Jesus Christ tonight? Why would you not come and trust him? We're asking you to come. The Lord is calling sinners in the meeting tonight to come. So why would you not come? It all began with one consent. They make excuse. People doesn't love our great Savior. They don't love him. Then of course there were those who accept it. You can read it on. We didn't take time to read it. And they came. Verse 22, verse 23. Remember he said verse 23. The Bible told him, verse 22, sorry, he says, "It has been done as I has commanded," and yet there's room. And he says, "Go out and into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." He says, "Go on ahead out and keep calling and bring them in, but here's what's going to happen. My house will be filled." And that's true, you know. If you don't come to Jesus Christ, others will come. Do you think heaven's going to be empty? And I'm asking for a show of hands tonight. Do you think heaven's going to be empty? The people read Revelation chapter 7, a great multitude which no man could number. We're all in heaven. We're going home to glory. Shall we gather at the river? We were singing that great hymn earlier on. Oh, the happiest day of my life was for the day I came to Jesus. And there's many here tonight who say the same thing. Oh, that happy day. Oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins all away.
we came.
Oh, there's times we wouldn't. There's times we didn't even want to hear the invitation. There's times we didn't want to come to Jesus Christ. But thank God by His grace today we came. Just the way we were. Full of sin. And His blood washed us and made us whiter than the snow. And we're glad we're saved. Are you glad you're saved tonight? And you're glad to be in the house of God singing the old fashioned gospel hymns. And if you're not saved, we want you to be saved. But you must come to Jesus Christ. And you must turn from your sin. And we pray tonight that you will come. We're going to sing this wee hymn in a moment. Just as I am, and weary not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Would you come and trust Christ tonight? We're here to help you. And we pray indeed the Lord will bring you to Himself. Come, for all things are now ready. May God write His word upon our hearts tonight. We're going to sing on Him together. And what number is it? 289. We'll sing first 1, 2, and 5. Just quietly, we'll keep our seats. That number 289, sorry. 289, and we'll sing verse 1, verse 2, and verse 5. Tonight. Maybe there's some in the meeting not saved, and you'd like to come to Christ. You know, you can come just where you are, ask Him to be your Savior. Repent from your sin, call upon Him, and He will hear that cry tonight, and He will save you. Just come to Christ with all your heart. Now, if you have got saved in this meeting, do let us know if you leave it. But we're here to help you. Mr. Wilkinson and myself, we'd love to talk to you. And if there's any questions, come and see us. But do you come to that last bit that says, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Don't let nothing stop you coming to Christ. If you're hearing my voice on the internet tonight, not saved, don't let nothing stop you. Come to Christ where you are. And ask Him to be your Savior. And He'll wash away all your sin. Loving Father in heaven, we thank You for being with us. I pray You'll bless the word that was sounded out all week, and even on the doors and the invitations and gospel tracts given out in the community. And bless on Sunday night our brother Matthew as he comes along to testify of the saving grace of God and do a new thing in this work, in this city, I pray. And Lord, even this very night, may some sinners come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Take us our separate ways, into our homes in safety, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.